call this meeting to order. Requirements of the open public meeting notice have been required, that adequate notice of this meeting has been advertised in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Do you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Blanchard will not be with us terribly long this evening. She has to leave, so we need a motion to appoint Ann Kilduff as acting clerk for the evening.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, roll call, please.
Levi, Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Torres?
Here.
Mayor McDonald?
Here.
Ms. Conway?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
We need to have an executive session for 10 minutes, so I will accept the motion. What is the purpose for litigation and personnel issues?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No. Next up on our agenda is a council appearance from the Family Guidance Center of Washington, Mrs. Harris and company.
I don't know that I need this microphone. I think I have a pretty big voice to begin with.
But it records.
Oh, it records?
It records everything.
Ooh,
the meeting is recorded.
I didn't know that. I would have prepared something.
Okay.
Again, my name is Mary Jo Harris. I'm a prevention educator with the Family Guidance Center here in Warren County. I'm also the coordinator for the Regional Coalition for Healthy and Safe Communities. I have given you the packet the other day, and it really provides you with a lot of information with the coalition. So I won't go into what the coalition is and what we do, but you have that information there. But I would like to thank you for allowing me this time to address the town council on what has been a very serious issue, not only here in Washington Borough, but throughout the county from Phillipsburg to Hackettstown and beyond. I brought with me a couple of books, the first series of books that I have. Unfortunately, they're kind of spread out a little bit, but I want you just to kind of look through those books. And for any of you here who have children in the Warren Hill Sending District, so that would mean if you I know all of you are Washington Borough residents, but if at any time you lived in other places in Warren County, whether it be Franklin, Oxford, the township, or the borough, or if you have friends who live in those towns, but now you've become friends because your kids are now in the Warren Hills Middle School or the high school, I'd like for you just to look through those pages and just share with me a couple of your thoughts as you look through those pages. And what do you see in those books? Just kind of describe what you see.
I see community. I see family. I see a lot of togetherness, organization. I see a lot of activities, sports, a lot of things. Just on a few. And it reminds me of your book, of course.
Yeah, and it is. It's the yearbook. I was going to bring my own children's yearbook because they both went through Warren Hill Sending District. But as we were talking with the police officer, Tom Cicero, we kind of borrowed theirs. But I wanted you to know that, you know, my children also went through the Warren Hill Sending District. And, you know, when I look through those books, I'm reminded of, you know, what happened in my house. And I flipped through the books, and I remember the pool parties at my house. And I remember the sleepovers, and I remember memories of attending band concerts, sporting events, graduations, and being very prideful in witnessing all the amazing talent that I would see and the future successes and the few hardships of the kids who made it through those tough times. And that's what I was always reminded of when I would look through the yearbook. Both of my children have since moved on for their own career, professional and personal, but I still do look through those yearbooks. But for me, unfortunately today, it takes on a different meaning. And when I look through those yearbooks, I get sad because those bright futures that were once on those pages, those bright smiles, those faces, are now the faces of addiction, arrest records, and even death. And these are the faces of the drug issues that we face here in Warren County. These are our kids. This is the face of drug addiction in our county. It's not the stereotypical loser or that person has no future or they were a bad influence on others. They're in these yearbooks. And on a personal note, about 2 weeks ago, I was in the car. And, you know, the local news came on and it was an arrest. And it was the arrest of a girl that I brought up through the Brownies and the Girl Scouts. Watched her graduate with honors from the county college, and even watched her graduate from Centenary. And I heard her name, and it was a friend of my daughter's, and I pulled over the side of the road, and I cried. And I tried not to dwell in it, but again, there for the grace of God, those could have been my girls, because they grew up in the same town, they grew up with the same values, they grew up with the same neighbors, they grew up with the same businesses, and there for the grace of God, that could have been one of my kids. I brought another set of books with me. These are newspaper articles since October 2012 till current. These are the kind of books that I look through every day now. Because these are the news articles that we can't even fit into those books. There are so many that they actually filled the two binders, and it's only been a year that we've been collecting these articles. Throughout the binders are people age 15 to 65 of Warren County residents who have been or are still experiencing the drug and alcohol issues here in Warren County. Those are just the people who were caught and charged and processed. Those aren't the numbers of people who are affected every day in this county that are facing the drug issues that are, again, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over again, here in Warren County. Why am I standing here in front of the Washington Borough Town Council? Because I'm going to ask you for your help. During our coalition meetings, local law enforcement attend and provide a coalition with current drug trends in their town. So this would mean we would have officers from Phillipsburg or Blairstown or Hackettstown or the township or the borough. They would attend our coalition meetings on a monthly basis to keep our members kind of current on what's going on here in Warren County. So we have a better idea of what we need to be paying attention to. In April, Deputy Chief Cicero and Detective Pantuso attended our meeting and provided us with information on the trends that are going on here in the borough and the township of what their officers encounter on a daily basis. As with other towns, the trend is the same. Heroin is the number one drug here in Warren County. Heroin. Why heroin? Nobody starts with heroin. And again, it's not that stereotypical person who's addicted, but heroin is the number one drug in Warren County. This is not Camden or Newark. This is Warren County. It's in Hunterdon County. It's in Sussex County. It's across the state. And I don't have to tell you, you see the headlines in the newspaper. Heroin is here, and it's taking a hold in Warren County. The sad truth, though, is that, again, people don't start off with heroin. They start off with what's available. So you might start with alcohol. You might start with marijuana. You soon turn to prescription medication. Prescription medication has now become the number one killer in overdose in our country, more than heroin and cocaine combined. It's prescription medication. What happens is someone might start with a pill. And today I have to tell you, and the officer can speak to this as well, there are things called farm parties. where kids go through their grandmothers, their mothers, their fathers, even some of their own pain medication that they might have received for wisdom teeth being pulled, a sprained ankle, a broken leg, something that happened to them, they were prescribed pain medication. They don't take it anymore for the purpose it was intended, but now what they're doing is they're bringing it to a party. Come to my house, we're having a party. We're going to drink, and we're going to put all of these prescription medications in a bowl, and you can just pick whatever you want. That's reality. This is not what we're making up. It's reality. The officers can attest to that. So now you're hooked on an opiate. Usually the painkiller is the prescribed medication that they're bringing. Some actually are stolen. Some are, you know, the kid who's taken the Ritalin at school, he now becomes the popular kid at school. Not because people want to know who he is. Mm-hmm. It's because he's got some drugs that are going to, you know, be the ones that they're after. So he's invited to the party, but make sure you bring your pills with you. Put them in a bowl, you take something out. An opiate is a highly addictive narcotic, so now what do you do? You don't have access to pills anymore. Heroin is an opiate. Heroin is a lot cheaper, so they turn to heroin. I have to tell you, we know of kids who didn't start with alcohol and marijuana. They started and they took a pain pill because it was cool, and they did. And they become addicted to that, and now they go to heroin. I mean, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. You know what it was like back in the day. It was the junkie. It was the needle in the arm. That is not the picture of heroin today. In 2012, Warren County crime statistics rose 14%, the highest in the state. This was in the newspaper. It was directly attributed to the burglaries and break-ins where individuals were stealing property to sell for cash to get their drugs. Juvenile drug court cases where youth are committing crimes can be directly linked to crimes being committed to get cash for drugs. I asked Sergeant Josh Beers, the head of the Narcotics Task Force here in Warren County and an active member in our coalition, if his office could supply me with the data of the drug activity primarily here in the Washington Borough area. I gave you those numbers in your packet. And I want you to take a look at that sheet that I gave you. That was, I think, was dated the 17th, was the latest information that we got from them. Out of the 83 investigations in Warren County, 22, or 1 in 4 of those investigations, were opened in Washington Borough, and the drug activity is heroin. Deputy Chief Cicerel has other information if you wanted some more numbers. If he wanted to share them, I don't know if you want to hear the numbers other than what I gave you. His are a little even more current. Is that something you would like to hear? Or
sure. Yeah.
Some of you may be aware, I don't know if you all are or not, we have an officer, a detective that's assigned to the County Narcotics Task Force full-time. The arrests that they have made so far this year primarily in the Washington Borough are 19 individuals for distribution of heroin and then 4 other individuals for possession. That doesn't include approximately 30 arrests that our department has made for our patrol officers for various drug offenses, whether it's possession or distribution. So I'll go ahead and break down the specific arrests that our department's made, but of course the type of drug, but that's the numbers.
I am a resident of Washington Borough. I've been a resident since 1986, and I'm certainly fully aware of what it sounds like to anyone who might be wanting to move their family into the area. In fact, I debated because, you know, and no disregard against the paper who went, you know, the publicity that's here, but, you know, you never want your town to have that splash on the front page. But we are not alone here in Washington Borough. Trust me, we're not alone. I'm here to tell you as a prevention educator that these numbers are indicative across Warren County. So you might be asking, why start prevention efforts here in Washington Borough? And I'm going to ask you, why not start here? Why not start right now? Because, you know, Phillipsburg has already started to address this. They installed surveillance cameras in Phillipsburg. Easton has installed surveillance cameras in Easton because a lot of our drug activity, they're going to Easton, or Easton is coming, you know, on this side of the river, and they're selling the drugs over here. We hear over and over again from the officers and again from Sergeant Beers the term day trippers. And what that looks like is, I'm a drug user, I'm going to make a day trip down to Newark or Patterson or Camden or wherever it is I'm going to get my drugs. And I'm going to come to my friends and my neighbors and my associates and whoever and say, hey, I'm going down. Give me your list. And you're going to give me the list of drugs that you want. And I'm going to go get them, and I'm going to bring back, and I'm going to deliver them. And they're called day trippers, and that's what happens. So our law enforcement's even doing things where they're actually going to the source, not waiting for the source always to come here. I'm asking you as a resident, and I'm asking you as a prevention educator, and I'm asking you as a parent of two children who, again, for the grace of God, could be my children in those yearbooks who are now in those binders, to seriously consider joining us in an effort, join the coalition, joining law enforcement, to seriously consider funding or supporting the raising of funds, to install surveillance camera system to assist law enforcement to be in all the places that they cannot, to decrease, if not stop altogether, the drug activity that is taking place next to our schools. Taylor Street is right down the street. October 13th, I believe in October there was a drug arrest that was down by Taylor Street School. You see in your packet we have a letter of support from Superintendent Lance Rosa from the Taylor Street School. These are happening in our church parking lot. They're happening in our alleys. They're happening in our mom-and-pop shops. And what do we want to be known for? We want to be known for that community that you described in those pictures. We don't want to be known for drug activity. Do we want to push it to the next town over? I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say no. But we have to start somewhere. I am urging you to give the police department the tools that will help them do this. More importantly, I'm going to ask you again to open up the pages of those yearbooks. And I'm asking you for those kids. And I'm asking you for the kids who are about to graduate. They are being victimized by the drug activity that we have here. I did contact Keith Maxwell, only because I saw his name in the paper with the surveillance cameras that were installed in Phillipsburg. And I asked him to give our coalition kind of just an overview of what that would look like, what the cost would be. Also spoke with Superintendent Lance Rosa because they have surveillance cameras at the school. He gave us the name of a camera system that he uses. So I don't know how you go about doing this, but I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to help the coalition. We got to start someplace, so I'm asking to start here.
How does this tie into the cameras that you spoke about at the bid meeting?
I wasn't
at the
bid
meeting. I'm asking.
We do have cameras in downtown.
Yeah, it's just to find grant funding for it.
Wait, but aren't you working on getting surveillance cameras to the downtown right now?
We're tapping into anybody and everything. I mean, we've had meetings since, I don't know, almost April, back and forth. We've had meetings with Sandy. We've put together a committee. It's very difficult to find funds. We've even contacted, I know Tom has contacted, I know I have called them. We've contacted Homeland Security. Because what happens with that money is a lot of it stops right before Warren County. It stops in Warren County. One of the biggest drug busts that we had here in Warren County was facilitated through funds that Morris County got through Homeland Security. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, we're like the forgotten little corner over here. So, I don't mean to sound, disrespectful. But we can't wait on that. We can't wait on grants. We can't wait that there's more money coming down the pike. I'm asking for the borough to supply all the funds. That's what I'm asking for. But reality tells me that that's probably not possible. So what I'm asking for is let's join together as a community. Let's start here in the borough. How can we get that money to get those surveillance cameras here? There are cameras in town, but they don't capture what they need to capture. We are asking the heavy hitters to have properties in here. Sandy's had communication with people who were coming in and developing, talking to those people. We're looking every... Diane will tell you, Diane Vanelli and anybody else who knows me, I will sniff out money quicker than anybody. But it has to build from somewhere. So we have to start this. So that's what I'm asking, if we can.
Have you also spoke to the other towns that feed into the regional high school, like the township, Franklin? Have you asked other towns?
That's a good question, because we wanted to start here first. because it is in the downtown area. And I felt that if I went to the other areas before I came to you, this is your downtown. This is what you're in charge of. So if I went to somebody else first, but I'm asking, I guess I am asking for your blessing because that is my next step. And only because the township had their meeting on the 19th, and we were hoping that you still had yours on the 18th, and it got switched and back and forth. Their meeting was on the 19th, and we were scheduled to speak because we thought we could speak here on the 18th. But I am asking for your blessing because we will be going to Mansfield, the township, Oxford, and to Franklin. They're the sending district. We have a letter of support from the school, from Patricia Hetrick, who is the principal there, and she is more than willing to, yes, fight the fight with us.
Can you investigate the state at all or the county? I'm sure you investigate the county, but what about the state? They might have some grant money as well.
You know, we have been exhausting all the possibilities. It's very difficult sometimes to get money for equipment. A lot of times there is grant money out there, but it's usually tied to some type of program. Like, I'll give you an example. The Family Guidance Center, Prevention Connections, is the department I work under. And we do have funding. In fact, we were just awarded a very nice federal grant. So we're good at writing grants. We're good at getting money. We have 18 years of uninterrupted funding through the state. They don't give you money to purchase something, but they will give you money to change the environment. So one of the things that in our grant was to change the environment. Well, by changing the environment, by installing a camera. So they would like for you to rally the support of your community to be able to get those funds. Because what happens is, what if they don't have any money and you run out? You still have to look somewhere. So they prefer you to build, you know, a coalition to help go bring this information to the community and get the funding that way.
So in other words, would they match money if we had seed money, say? Say we started a project and we decided to do this community, you know, activity, and then we started, say, a small, you know, amount. I don't know how much these cameras are,
yeah,
or what
the
plan
is.
That's another thing that, you know, we would have to decide on. But say that they're beyond our cost. Say it's $10,000, and we only had available, say, $2,000. Would you then have the what you need to go to the state to get the rest of the funding? Is that
We possibly could. We could look for some type of grant that would do the same thing.
Right.
You know, again, in looking for state funding, they want something more behind it because it's got to be something that's sustainable. So one of the questions that we ask, okay, you get the surveillance cameras. How do you maintain them? You get them, but now how will you maintain them? So where does that funding stream come from? So you have to also think of that. So again, whenever you're looking for funding, the number one question that they always want to ask you is, what if this money weren't available? Or what if this money were to run out? Then what would you do? So we have to be able to have that kind of backup. We have a very good relationship with your municipal alliances. Some of their money, I believe, can be used to purchase things. But listen, I'm not going to ask them to purchase a surveillance camera. But I am going to make that plea to the five sending districts, municipalities that have municipal funds, you know, could they, with the extra money they have left over, could they maybe support that? I don't know. That's a, you know, question I'm willing to ask, though.
Do you have a plan, a master plan as to how many cameras you're going to use and where they're going to be located, who's going to maintain them?
And how much?
And how much is going to cost?
Yes. Preliminary, from what Mr. Maxwell has given us, and he made a presentation to us. Now remember, when he's making a presentation, he's making it to coalition, he's making it to community members. We're not the experts of the law enforcement, although law enforcement was present as well, and was answering some of those questions and asking some of those questions as well. I just drew a blank.
If you master plan.
Okay, so the preliminary amount that they gave us was $22,000. That would, and I know Tom could probably speak to this a little bit also, $22,000 for 16 cameras. It would give them a home-based system where they could also have the system mounted in the cruisers, right?
Yes, they're Wi-Fi cameras that we could access right from our patrol cars from the mobile data terminals. So, like, if we got a report,
they would be permanently mounted someplace.
Yes, on various locations in the borough. The grant that we wrote through the bid is a little different than the proposal that Mr. Maxwell came up with, because the grant through the bid was a Homeland Security grant for like target hardening of nonprofits. So we kind of tried to strategically pick nonprofit buildings in the borough that could kind of cover a lot of our trouble spots. They weren't the most ideal locations. Mr. Maxwell's proposal is a lot better because we told him, like, the problem areas in town where we have a lot of drug activity. So his proposal is a little more accurate of what we need. So,
first of all, I would like to start off by saying I support this 100%. Mm-hmm. There is an issue, though. Mm-hmm. 22,000 is over our threshold. We would have to go out for a competitive bid for this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, bid specs would have to be drawn up. Once government gets involved, it screws everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The requirements. I mean, it's true. $22,000 is really a lot of money that, you know, that we would have to sit down. You're lucky it's budget time. I think, for me personally, I support the idea. I don't know about complete funding, though. You know, we would have to take a look at our budget. But if you want support, you know, saying that we're going to take a look at this, and you want somebody from this council to be on your
coalition.
Coalition. I think this is a long time coming, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I mean, that's me personally. So, I mean, I support the idea. We would have to take a look before we commit to any type of funding. Again, my opinion, we would have to take a look at everything. And because it's over $22,000, we would have to go out for a bid. So, and however long that takes, it's...
Now, what if it's like a capital improvement in the police budget? Like, how could it come about that way? Like, if it's...
No, because they're not doing it.
They would have this cameras in their cars. And
they would have it in their cars, absolutely. This would be part of it, and that should be part of the maintenance cost, I believe, right?
The camera's not. We have computers in our cars, the mobile data terminals that we run lookups. So basically, through like an IP address over the internet, we could access the camera. So basically, we could just have.
They could be 100 yards
away. Not
about
renewing your car. You just
They could be 100 yards away from the camera.
Let's
see what's going on over there.
There are problems with that as well, because I mean, not that it's happened, but these are like over the internet. So somebody could tap into the same images and maybe give heads up warning.
There's
Security. Self-defeating, you know, kind of thing. It may not be the best. I mean, something definitely needs to be done.
Even
if it was $10,000 and under the limit, we still would need more than one proposal no matter what we did. But certainly it's some place that we want to
One of the issues that you kind of stepped on there with the internet is if it's in one permanent place, eventually everybody's going to figure out what that camera's looking at and move. You know, so I mean, I would like to see something that you can move the camera around.
That's good.
You know, let's say you have the 16 cameras, maybe 5 of them can be moved.
Well, I mean, they do make portable cameras like that. Our kind of idea originally was to get 16 in the like primary hotspots,
right.
And then do something through the bid where like businesses, if they were interested in like paying for a camera for their business, if we didn't have one there and start expanding the network. So, I mean, if it started out with a certain dollar amount and we could get the server and the controller and a couple of cameras and then just kind of expand from there, that would be wonderful.
Like a start. And then maybe another town could buy 3 more cameras.
Because once you have the main system, like, it can hold, I forget how many he said it could expand to in his proposal, but, I mean, if, say, it could hold 26 cameras, even if we started out with a system and 4 cameras or something like that, you still have 22 cameras you can expand into.
Would we actually be purchasing the cameras?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that what you're proposing, that we actually purchase them?
Yeah.
Or that we have a line item to donate $10,000 to whatever? I mean, that's why...
Then you wouldn't have to do the bidding process.
Either way.
Correct.
Well,
I know it would work, but as far as the bidding process...
Here's my question, and I apologize if this is an ignorant question. What's your threshold, and we're going to answer what's under that, so that we don't have to go through all that bidding process. And we need to encourage the other towns, because I'm going to tell you that, you know, it's not just about the kids. It's about our businesses, too. This is the business district of our our spending district, for Franklin Township. I mean, Sandy worked tirelessly to get businesses in here. That's not just for the borough. That's for the township and Franklin and Oxford, and we're willing to take that case to all the other townships. I don't see this as just being a Washington borough, and I don't want to say burden, but for lack of a better term, don't look at it as a burden, but look at it as a growing process and a collaborative effort. And I guess I'm preaching to the choir,
yeah,
because that's what we're going to be taking to the other towns.
Well, the threshold you're talking about is it's 17.5, right, Dave? 17,500?
Right. We'll take it.
But
it's
anything under
that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
17,499.
Yeah, but that's a professional service agreement. Right?
Well,
that's
for
the
bid
threshold.
It's the bid threshold?
Yeah.
17 what?
17.5.
Yeah.
Well, these other municipalities will have cameras in their areas also, right? Oxford want them in there. Washington Township, I imagine they got hot spots for cameras to be used.
It's a distance thing, so
right,
like you would need like a receiver unit in the borough, so like the system that we're talking about can only kind of handle the downtown area, because you need like line of sight with the antennas and
okay.
So like they would have to purchase a whole another controller and a system if they wanted to do it in there.
So whatever money they could come up with would go towards
their community.
Their municipality,
right,
is what I'm saying. I mean, you're talking,
yeah,
about trying to get funding from other,
mm-hmm,
other municipalities.
Line of sight, they connect through infrared?
I'm not sure. It's antennas, and because he was talking about,
okay,
he was trying to pick out the tallest building in town. And
we're talking about Wells Fargo and then the Midtown Limited,
yeah,
and a couple different spots, you know.
Because they're trying to find
infrared is the only thing that really definitely needs line of sight. Radio frequency does not need line of sight, but it can't have a building in between it also.
Right.
You know,
he was looking, I think, at the Van Cleef building to try and get, because they were talking about maybe putting a controller here to send the signal.
Isn't that one already in the Van Cleef building?
It's outdated and they don't work.
A DVR
for
one camera.
It's not live. That's the problem. You need live.
Plus the camera is horrible.
Right. You need to go to their laptops. They need to be able to move in and take it over. And you also need the chain of command is also critical for them to do anything with it as well.
I have another question. Who funds the Family Guidance Center?
Most of the state funding from the Division, the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse.
And would they kick in anything?
We have no money. I mean, it's for treatment. The Family Guidance Center is a treatment facility, mental health and substance abuse. The Prevention Connections piece of it is a program with a Family Guidance Center. And trust me, Diane and I work tirelessly looking for money, and we have been looking for money for this. And, you know, the fact that we just received a federal grant, which is very competitive, it was 143 were awarded nationwide out of 500 applicants, and we happen to be one of them, and scored within, like, the top 10 of getting that. So we're not beyond the point of, you know, even though we came here, we are still going to be looking for money. But for the Family Guidance Center, you know, we rely very heavily on Medicaid, Medicare reimbursement and state funding, and you know where that's kind of headed, so...
So if this is a countywide effort, and you know you got a countywide coalition,
mm-hmm,
have we approached the county?
Not yet. Again, we needed to come to the borough because
okay,
we can't go after something if we can't. You know, we want to get your blessing first, basically, to do that.
Apply a resolution.
But we have to find out where the money is going to come.
You know what?
Yes,
this is kind of a big issue, and I think we really need to get some more information gathered together. Find out about, I think there's different ways to look at it. I think it's definitely a major problem in town. I think that there's other things that, besides for Mary Jo, what, you know, your group wants to do, I think that there's other things after the enforcement even. We could possibly have a municipal ordinance saying that something to effect that, you know, much more stricter penalties for somebody that's, you know, caught in our borough, in addition to the state. Yes, I mean, things like that around school. Yeah, so, I mean, there's other ways, but I think that it's a good idea, maybe if we have some sort of, you know, committee set up or something to investigate this and, you know, see the different choices. And we also would need more than one proposal, no matter what, so.
I mean, we could do a resolution saying, yes, we support it before the end of the year. I don't know if that gives you any help or anything.
Yeah,
but wouldn't be until budget time that we'd be able to say
how much
if anything, we could do for you.
Right. Well, I guess what I would ask, and I'm sure that someone on the committee, you're always looking for funds for the town. to maybe sit with that person. Where are you looking for your funding? Because maybe there's funding that you're looking for that maybe you can't apply for, but we could, or the police department could, and we could certainly be a collaborator on that. So, you know, we have numbers. Funders need numbers. They need data. So it could be a collaborative effort that we could do this, you know, together. And there are a lot of initiatives that we're doing. You know, Warren County is very big, and I have to, you know, I'm going to toot our own horns. Family Guidance Center has never been in the coalition building business. And there was a community prevention resources here in town, and unfortunately they, you know, it's the nature of the beast, they lost their funding. So now our coalition, we have over 65 members and 20 to 25 people every month at our meetings, because it is an issue. And those people are from every single municipality in this county.
What are your meetings?
They're always the fourth Monday at 9 o'clock, and they're held at Warren County Community College, Conference Room 201, second floor. And if you'd like, I would invite you to come to the next one, which happens to be, hopefully on a way, December 23rd. It is the Monday before Christmas, but it's going to be a year in review to just let the community members know, like, what are some of the things that we're doing. But it's grassroots. This one person getting paid 20 hours runs the coalition, and it's community members who are doing the work. And we would love to have a liaison from the council.
What time? I'm sorry.
9 o'clock. 7?
No.
Oh.
In the morning?
No. 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 in the morning. Not 7 in the morning. We're not
seven.
Businesses where they need 7:15.
Mondays at 9 a.m.
The fourth Monday of the month, and we are having one the Monday before Christmas. So, any other questions or?
Okay. To get this clear, we're gonna make a motion to support your efforts without committing to funding at this point.
Okay.
All right.
Are you making that motion?
I make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Now, there's one thing I want you to do, though, before you go, is to help us out. Give us the names. You said that there were two people that vendors?
Yeah.
Can you get the vendors to the borough clerk?
Sure.
And then,
that proposal. 24.
Okay. We have to be there. And
I'd like to see a presentation of this to look at how it works.
From all of the people.
We do a proposal, though.
Yeah.
In the black diamond, the black folder, Erica.
Are they in the black folder? There's
the proposal?
Yeah,
are you
now? I guess we don't. I don't think we have a problem, right?
This is just from the one vendor.
This is, well, and he installed the
camera. That's right.
Who maintains them? Is there a contract to maintain them?
I don't know. I can certainly call to the sound board and find out.
It's monitored by the police department?
Yes.
I mean, I'm
pretty sure that gas station robbery they have with the homicide there last year, I think that's
part of
how they solved it was through that, one of the cameras on the street.
You know what, and I am looking through here, the actual proposal's not in here, but I will get a copy to you. This is what he brought to us about his company, and he gave us the proposal, and I do have a copy, but I only have one with me. So I will get that to everybody. And just in case you want to know more about us, I'm going to, again, the express times on 17th, this is the kind of work that we do. This is our coalition who brought about this article, and also the front of the Warren Reporter is a little bit of a watered-down version, but November 17th of the express times, a cure for drug abuse prescribed. This is what our coalition does. This is, we put these people together, so thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
That takes us to the minutes of the regular meeting of October 1.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion on those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Yes.
At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petition statements, and testimony from guests. somebody champion at the bit here? Mr. Franks?
Ah, you remember. Okay.
Yes, name and address for the record, please.
Mike Franks, 43 Nunn Avenue, Washington Borough. I tagged along with the prevention services today. Speaking on my own behalf, though, and I think you might recognize me from trying to save trees here before, more about saving lives this time, and it's real. I can tell you that in the last year and a half, although it hadn't occurred in this community, I lost my mother and a cousin in a DUI, prescription drugs, okay? And so it's happening, it hits home. I also have a nephew that until about a year and a half ago when I started looking into this problem, he was kind of the black sheep and you didn't say too much about him. He's the one that's been the prescription drug to opiate addict, heroin addict now in the family for the last 10 years. So getting hit both sides. Here in town, July 3rd, 2012, lost a neighbor to a mixed overdose prescription, one of our community members, maybe not written up as such, to prescription drugs and alcohol abuse. So the point is, it is here, it's everywhere, it's not just, not just Warren County, not just New Jersey, it's national. It's acknowledged by the CDC, the FDA. It's the biggest killer today. So we have to start in our own communities. So I'm just here to, encourage you. It seems like you're picking right up on it. I think you all probably, this is closer, to home than we've all talked about before for many of us. So I encourage you to do what we can to save people. Over the last 20 years since the introduction of the opiates, the prescription opiates, the OxyContin, the oxycodone, oxymorphone, and so on and so forth, the tonnage, literally tonnage, that's been manufactured and made available in our community has caused a proportionate number of increases in deaths, four times the number. Okay, quadruple the numbers are in the last 15, 20 years. This is the new killer. It's not just the illicit street drugs. It's the ones that are manufactured legitimately that are involved in 75% of the deaths. So, just to hammer it home with a few of those, facts that I've learned. I've been looking at it really closely, and I hope you will, too, and do everything you can to support this one facet of fighting the problem, enforcement. There's a lot of others, education, educating the people, the patients, the physicians, the pharmacies, everybody. So do what you can, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Next.
So I've been attending those coalition meetings as well, so I think I'm on. Okay, see what happens if you miss a meeting and put up a tray or something? I don't know.
Well.
But anyway, it's very important to the future for all of us to have a clean and safe community. So we firmly support it as well. I just wanted to come back and make sure that you all had received. I did a cash flow analysis for you, and I ran the budget showing how it's a balance of the only portion of our deficit was for the capital improvement of the park. And so that it just was very clear and easy for everyone to see. So, give me one for your
second. Thank you. And obviously, if you have any other questions or need better clarification, I'm certainly happy to do so. And as everyone knows, you will receive our audited version of our financial report in February. So. And all of this ties back to everything that I gave you before. So I just took the budget summary, and as David pointed out, well, where does your budget come from
without funds withdrawn from the surplus. So the two numbers directly correlate to each other. If you took out the parking lot loan and the park, was the direct exact amount of the funds withdrawn from the surplus. So this directly illustrates where the rest of our income and expenses are and how our budget goes from the 200 to the 234 thousand. I'm sorry, off by 600. I missed something here. But and then the cash flow shows the five-year cash flow, where you can see that I did a current estimate of where we stood, looked at exactly how much cash we had in all of our accounts as of November 11th, showed income and expenses for the balance of the year, and showed where we would start for 2014. And I showed exactly where we had budgeted our numbers that in the budget that I presented to all of you for 2014. And just as a working basis, carried similar numbers forward. That's not to say, you know, something might not move from one line item to another in the expense column. You know, maybe we decide events should come down a little bit, and things like physical improvements should go up, but it just gives you an idea so that you could feel comfortable with our solvency and our cash flow. And that was really, I think, the big question. If anybody has any other questions, obviously, happy to address them, and again, I will come back with our audit in February. And I hope everyone can attend the hometown holiday. I want to thank Janine, and I see that Councilman Thompson isn't here, and all of you for doing the other tree lighting. It's very exciting. It adds something very different and special to ours, and I just can't even tell you how much. And thank you to the police department. They will be having a lot of coverage here. Not only is Chief Cicero going to be here, he has two officers, and then we're also going to have a crossing guard, because it is, if you can even believe the amount of action that we're getting on Facebook, it is astounding. So excited about it. It's going to be a really great night, so I hope you can make it from 4 to 8.
Hopefully it warms up a little bit.
I don't even care as long as it doesn't rain and cold. We were like hustling to get everything done this morning, and actually Rudy and the other crew of the firemen are out there right now so that we can get everything up before the rain and the snow comes in. So I think we'll be able to withstand the cold weather, but rain is just
Councilman Thompson going to be the backup Santa?
That's right. He's been getting his beard trimmed. He doesn't see it pressed right now, but it's a lot of fun. One of the funner things that we do. Nothing better than...
Maybe I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, your budget in 2014, you're removing $50,425, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is for what purpose? Because what you presented us at the last meeting is $285,000. Right,
yes.
So you're taking $50,000 out, and that has a direct correlation to what? The park and the parking lot?
Right. That's exactly why I showed that to you in the budget summary. If you go back to the other budget summary that I had given you, it just directly took those two line items out so that you could see the direct correlation.
Okay.
I should have printed that one out.
It's $35,000 for the park and $15,000 for the parking lot.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So it was like a direct roll of those numbers. And then obviously, if anything that we can do to push up that loan payment, I know Christine, she said she had not received the amortization schedule, so I'll make sure that she gets that tomorrow.
So how do we know in 2015 we're gonna add $5,000 to the surplus?
I guess that's not something we should assume, but we were hoping for a continuation of the clean communities, which is a big help to us, being that we do all the planters and the Welcome to Washington area and all that. So that was, but there's no assurance. That was just showing a little bit of extra cash if we ran similar line items. So we actually haven't prepared a 2015 budget at this point. We've really only done 2014. I just tried to give an example, which is pretty close. We're not going to vary hugely from year to year. The only thing that has a huge variance to us is when we do things like physical and capital improvements, like the $390,000 parking lot and then the park. I don't know if anybody's seen, but we did take advantage of some great end of season specials, and we have some trees out there, which is really exciting, and all the light posts around. We're just waiting on the the top of the globes, and all that was on back order. So exciting stuff, and it's kind of hard to see because I know that Van Cleef has all the construction going on as well. But
can you do me one other favor?
Absolutely.
2013, you're saying we have a $91,000 surplus. Are you guys having a $91,000 surplus?
Ending cash balance, yes. That's what is in the bank account.
Okay, can you tell me what it was in 2011 and 2012? Can you get those numbers for me?
Absolutely. I could actually give you a very close estimate off the top of my head. I think it was about $200,000, but I'll get you the exact numbers.
For both years?
Close to that. We've been running, because we've always pretty much run what they call like a zero funding. You know, we spend what we bring in the same year. The reason we ended up with $200,000 is because the bid was incorporated, the assessment was collected in 2003, but we didn't go into operation in 2004. And we really didn't do anything with those funds until we started with the parking lot. And at one point, you know, it was good interest for us, and you don't throw money away, you know, until there's a big cause. But, you know, the parking lot was very important towards the redevelopment, and that's when we started withdrawing from the surplus. That. And then the one year we also cut the assessment back from 200 to 165, and we withdrew some money. But I will get you the exact numbers.
Just the point that I'm trying to make, if it was $200,000 in 2012, we used more than 50% of it in 2013.
Well, the parking lot loan runs, I think, about $35,000 a year. So that would have been what we would have run in 2012 and 2011.
So. Then if you had $200,000, all right, if you can just give me those numbers,
I appreciate it. Sure, actually, and I can also give you, because we have the cash flow that shows all the way back, so that we've been doing this for a while, so mm-hmm. I could show you the one where it shows what we have from like 2010 to 2015 as a rolling basis and update it for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? And we have no ordinances, so that will take us to reports.
Move to receive and file reports.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on any of the reports?
I have lots of questions, but the Monday meeting came before a loop, and I didn't know Christine wasn't going to be here, so I do have questions on the revenue report, but I'll call her. Is she out this week, or?
No, she's just not giving it all today.
Okay, I'll try calling her tomorrow.
Okay. Anything else? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Committee reports. Do we have any committee reports this evening?
I'm just going to talk a little bit about the Senior Committee.
Sure.
Real quick, the Senior Advisory Committee. I just wanted to let everyone know that we've been working with the high school and the Key Club. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this. The Key Club has a new subgroup called Senior Blue Streaks, and the students are working with the senior citizens at the Washington Community Center now.
Okay.
So they had an event for Halloween as like a kickoff event, and it was a very nice time. And then they're doing something December 9th for any seniors that want, especially those that have, you know, visual problems or arthritis. They'll help them address their Christmas cards and wrap their Christmas presents, and
nice.
I think they're going to bring cookies. And so it's kind of nice that we're all working together, us and the high school, and in conjunction with the county senior services. So I just want to get it out there for seniors that December 9th they're going to have something.
Okay. Anything else? Move on to old business with the nuisance ordinance.
All right. I was in the process of making copies for everybody of updated information that we have regarding the vacant properties in the part of the discussion where we were for the audience that wasn't here. Basically, in part of the nuisance ordinance, one of the things that came up was the long-term vacant properties that we've had an issue with in the borough. We're trying to, in this ordinance, suggest that maybe a possibility is to
enact a registration fee for these properties. There's recent legislation in, I guess it's the Assembly, or it's, it might be the Senate, hold on. I just received this recently, but what they're doing is the state is acknowledging that throughout, this is a problem with foreclosure and problem properties throughout the state. So what's happened is there's been a lot, especially in cities, they've taken action before we are, if we do, in terms of registering these vacant properties. Newark, for example, is one of the first ones to jump on board with this. A lot of the other big cities, Camden. There's a whole list that I was going to, Jersey City was another one. But a lot of these, you know, are trying to, these municipalities are all trying to do something to, you know, try to take care of these abandoned and vacant properties. Without getting into too much detail, because this needs to be, you know, I really would like everybody to read the same thing, so I don't have to get into this big long discussion tonight. What I'll do is I'll make copies for everybody, and I'll have it ready for whenever our next meeting is, you know, so, you know, I was hoping to be for next week, but if it's, you know, after that, whenever it is. But it definitely needs to be looked at, and it seems that the municipalities that have an ordinance in effect before a state law does, the state law, as far as I know, will be establishing the maximum amount of penalties that you can charge on violators for these, you know, properties. So if we get in on board beforehand with our ordinance, we would avoid, you know, we would be grandfathered in. So in other words, we can take advantage of this by enacting our municipal ordinance before the state actually sets the rules for it, and then we'd be grandfathered in under our own. So it's really something that we really should look at specifically now, and I have a lot of information. There's probably about, I don't know, it looks like about 40 pages worth of information that I'll make into organized packets, and I'll have in everybody's mailbox. So that this way, before the next meeting, we can properly review it before we discuss it, because otherwise it's going to just, you know, spin wheels going back and forth.
Okay.
All right.
Could I ask a question about the current nuisance? It's, you know, because it's so big, and I just feel some of it's convoluted, but what, and I, some of it's very clear, like 5910 is the abatement of unfit buildings, and
mm-hmm.
whatever, you have the, what, 59 whatever is graffiti, vandalism, 59, you know what I mean? You said, and then the next, it was very clear the information belongs to that section. I'm just
mm-hmm.
not clear, what is 59.7? What does that have to do with this whole thing? What is this section for? It's not, we have a section for littering, we have a section for...
This is for property maintenance standards. So, in other words, if we decide we would like to enact general you know, ordinance regarding how property should be maintained, whether vacant or not, this is what other municipalities do as examples. So we can choose and select or, you know, enact any or all of these above. So this is something, again, to discuss. But this is, most of this is taken from, you know, state statutes in terms of property maintenance standards after there's a process for abandoned buildings that they have now, which we touched on before. But so a lot of that in here comes from that. So as I had earlier mentioned when I assembled this, it's kind of, in a way, still needs editing. This is very rough draft because, as I said, most of this is still to be discussed before it gets formalized into, you know, a little bit more fine-tuned organization. But
right, so the
this
next
is
meeting,
the basic is in
the
it.
The next meeting, you want to focus on 59-11.
That's where the conversation discussion was.
Yeah, well, that last couple 15. Of meetings, we kind of like jumped from different things.
Yes,
so.
We'd like to keep it organized. Right.
All right, so 59-11, you're going to send us that.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so postpone the rest of the discussion.
Do you have something you'd like to ask?
Well, I'm okay with that.
Okay. You just had that look on your face, like, I'm ready.
All right, next meeting.
Now, get into resolutions, new business, 195-2013 transfer resolutions.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion on this?
Yeah. All right. I don't have a problem with it. We have to do, you know, we have to do it every year. But I was looking at the October year-to-date, and my concern is, are we actually putting in enough? Like, at the end of October, we had $0 for legal. Is $10,000 enough to get us through, you know, November and December?
I think this
we can actually make transfers.
Expenses, yeah.
We can actually make transfers on this budget up until the end of March of next year.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, this doesn't...
All right, so again, I'll ask Christine my questions, but maybe does anyone know, in the reserve for uncollected taxes, there's like, and we haven't even gotten to fourth quarter taxes, we budgeted like $900,000 and there's zero left. That's not part of the trend, it's part of like the, again,
no.
I was wondering, do we need to put money in there?
No, that's a state mandated line item.
I think that's a question
they
for the CFO.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
Okay, I'll ask her my other question.
Yeah, that's something we have very little control over.
Okay.
Did we use all of that money? Is that what you're asking? No.
Oh, okay. So complicated. All right.
Okay, anything else? Have a roll call, please.
Mr. Higgins?
Roll call. They called your name.
Yeah, I know. What are we talking about? 195?
Yeah, 195.
Yeah, you had me confused there. Yes.
Sorry about that.
Can I go out,
yes. Ms. Gleba?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Mayor McDonald?
Yes.
Who made that motion?
You did.
Senior moment.
Do you need 2 minutes to go get another cup of coffee?
Okay. I don't know what I was thinking.
196-2013, redemption of a tax certificate.
So moved with
second.
The date change.
With the date change,
yes.
Down there at the bottom. Where it says this resolution was moved by and it's got to be changed to the 25th, not the 26th.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we got a second on that?
Yes.
All right. Any discussion on that? Another roll call, please.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Ms. Gleba?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Connery?
Yes.
Mayor McDonald?
Yes. 197-2013, authorizing the execution of a second amendment for police services between the township and the borough of Washington.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that?
Judy, you had an opportunity to see that, right?
Yes, I drafted it.
You drafted it? Oh, so you saw it.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Do you need a roll call on this one?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Ms. Gleba?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Mayor McDonald?
Yes. Okay. 198-2013, authorizing the sale of surplus land.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this one?
Did you carefully review this?
Yes, I drafted it as well.
Anything else? Another roll call, please.
Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Gleba?
I'm going to abstain.
Ms. Connery?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
No.
Mayor McDonald?
Yes. 199-2013, authorizing the extension of the First Amendment to the Shared Service Agreement for paving equipment between Washington Borough, Washington Township, and Franklin Township.
So moved.
Okay.
Is there any discussion on this one?
Yeah. Go ahead.
What happened at your meeting and everything?
There was a lot of discussion. John Byrd was there. He gave a rundown on the condition of the equipment. Essentially, it was agreed to keep going on it for another 5 years because the equipment was in at least repairable condition. every community would put $2,000 into a line item in their budgets for maintenance of it. Maintenance of the equipment would be shared equally among the communities. The Borough of Washington will now become the lead agency. We were the lead agency. We will be the lead agency, and we will store the equipment in our garage. One of the issues was that the equipment was not always stored indoors, leading to some of the maintenance issues. So we will now have control of that.
Okay.
And it will be revisited again in 5 years, although at that point we feel that it would probably be necessary to get some, if not all, new equipment.
And just one comment, and it's more, I don't know if I guess if you can tell Christine, why, I never even knew we had the shared service agreement. Like, why isn't this ever mentioned, like, in the best practices? You know, all those things to show that, you know, like with Governor Christie and everything, you know, how good it is to have, you know, the shared services and blah, blah, blah. Like, how come we have never even mentioned that this shared service, like, exists? Like, why don't we, again, like, with the best practices? And,
yeah. I couldn't tell you. That's a lot.
You know, because we actually have quite a few shared services in this community.
Yes. Yeah, but this one is just not often, you know, needed in conversation, so it doesn't come up. I mean, you know, the one with the library and the court of police, they're obviously, you know, more commonly
thought. Right, but it still should be included in the list of things that we
This is, yeah. I think probably because it's 15 years old now.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of got forgotten about. That would be my best guess.
You're right. It should be on the list.
I have a question, Scott.
Sure.
$2,000 from each municipality, that's $6,000. Who's paying for the repairs that need to be done on it now?
I believe, and don't quote me on this, that we did.
We did?
Yes.
We just got the equipment back after 6 to 8 months, a year of this being left out, and we're paying for the for them. I can't do that. This right here, this agreement is going forward. That equipment was left out in another municipality, and I am not going to pay for another municipality's.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you one second. In the original agreement, it says the equipment shall be maintained and repaired on a regular basis. The Borough, Township, and Franklin agreed to pay 1/3 of the cost of all maintenance and repairs to that equipment. So are you saying that didn't happen?
For what has happened previously, what I know our road department did is they replaced hoses and belts, rubber type equipment. Now there was some other
there was rust issues too, as I understand, on some of those pieces of equipment.
Okay.
The cost of routine maintenance and repairs shall be shared equally.
Yeah. Now I believe that the
Franklin's the lead agency.
The trailer equipment has not been repaired yet, and all of the municipalities are going to contribute to the repair of the trailer.
Well, I think Dave has a point because, you know, we shouldn't pay for the negligence of another municipality in this agreement. However, I mean, that's maybe something we could address separately. I think we should still go forward with the continued shared service agreement, but I think maybe we could look into. Yeah,
and I think our road department supervisor, Christine, can answer that question better than I could.
Mm-hmm.
Can we table this then to the next meeting?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see any reason why not.
Yeah. There's a motion though, right?
Yeah, so there I can remove that motion, that's fine.
Who seconded it?
Was
you
okay
with that, Ethel?
We'll find out who pays for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, number 6 in the original agreement. Has that been happening?
Yeah. Then table.
You
don't need a motion to table.
No.
I'll make that
all
motion.
All in favor.
Okay. You made the motion to table.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Let's do 200 through 204 together. Refunds and tax overpayments.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion on any of those? Roll call, please.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Ms. Gleba?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Mayor McDonald?
Yes. Okay, another Recreation Commission appointment, Danny Lynn Steiner.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that?
Yeah, I just want to make sure in the past, were we the only ones that got this? That information is supposed to be striked, the personal information?
Yes, you're right.
I don't know if this was out on the whole internet, you know, on the website, you know, some, when they post the materials on the internet, make sure that's all.
Okay, thank you.
This is, I just wanted to mention this. On some of these, like Recreation Commission or the other boards or whatever, I mean, for some of us that don't have an opportunity to get around town to meet all the people, I was wondering if sometimes it would be, you know, nice to have some of these people come and introduce themselves at some of these meetings so we know exactly who they are.
Usually I do.
Okay.
I didn't do it this time.
Okay.
But
the
last meeting, Mr. Zimmerman was appointed and he was here.
Right.
I think he left before he was appointed, though.
But it would be.
No, he was here. His family left.
His family left, correct.
Yeah. But I mean, it is beneficial to everybody to have, you know, some, okay, appearance.
Okay, I didn't do it this time, I apologize.
No, okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 206, 2013, authorization of back wage compliance and payment agreement.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Yeah, when we talked about this, there were only two.
Two main ones.
Two plus two.
We did discuss the other ones.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not getting paid. They were listed in the original information.
Right. They were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
they get no names.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our particular copies are still confidential. That was my question.
Okay.
Just making sure.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Gleba?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Mr. Dillon?
Yes.
Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Present.
Mayor McDonald?
Yes. Okay, 207, 2013, reappointing Natasha Turchin as CFO.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Anything else? Any other discussion, I should say? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Our vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Correct.
Okay, is there any discussion on the vouchers?
I did approve of Natasha, though. I have two pages folded down. Let's see what they're folded down for.
Go up here.
Am I going to beat Mr. Higgins? Page 10. Well, 15 is not here. The water usage. Did you see the water usage?
That's good. That's the same question.
$630 for the month of October and November.
For the
park.
For the park. Yeah, everybody's at least
back to be,
observing the same.
Can someone ask about that? Does anyone know? And if it's one of my questions on my revenue, the revenue report, too, because it wasn't listed on the revenue report, and yet it's listed in the vouchers, the Highland Grant. What is that? On page 13, for Spinelli Consult, what's the Highlands Water Use Pilot Program? Is that what they're charging to apply to that grant? Or do we have that grant money and we're paying them with that money? Because in the revenues, it's listed on the revenues, but $0, so we don't have any money for that grant. So. Does anyone know what that is?
I don't know what the water use pilot program is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll ask Christine my question tomorrow.
Okay, anything else? Something, Dave?
Yeah, I don't understand. On page 4, multi-copier, under public safety. Well, that must be the copy machine, and $90 for the toner. Who is public safety? Is that fire and safety enforcement?
I would think that. I could possibly include code enforcement.
I was wondering if you'd say that.
Emergency management doesn't have their own camp, do they?
Yeah, they do.
They have.
All right, well, that goes on to the second page there.
Yeah, okay, fire and safety code enforcement, the 0265. So that could be a share of the copier also. I believe that it's rented.
It's rented?
I believe our copy machines are leased.
Yeah, downstairs. My question would be,
it could just be whatever the rental is, that's their share of it, because it does sometimes get split among departments.
I didn't see it anywhere else, though.
Sorry?
I didn't see it anywhere else.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Higgins?
Bless you.
Yes.
Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Ms. Gleba?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes, but with an extension on the public works section for the payment made to the Flemington Department Store.
Do you have a conflict with that?
I work there.
Okay.
I love that.
Fair enough. That's what we wanted to know.
Ms. Connery?
Yes.
Mayor McDonald?
Yes. Recap, Ms. Kilgore, what did we give you to do today?
I am going to let the borough manager know that she'll get the amortization schedule from the bid tomorrow. They will provide Councilman Higgins with the 2011-2012 surplus numbers. Councilman Torres will provide copies of the nuisance ordinance information packets prior to the next meeting. I will let the borough manager know, Councilwoman Gleba, that you weren't aware of the paving shared service and that council needs to be aware it needs to be included on a list. I'll ask her to find out who pays for the repairs for that paving ordinance as of now. I'll have her be sure that the personal information is off the website for the appointee to the Recreation Committee. And I will tell her that you'll be calling about the water usage numbers.
Yeah, I'll be here. Yeah.
Mayor, you also need a resolution to approve Mr. Trinity as special counsel?
Yes, we do.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
But then,
what?
Make a motion to...
Mr. Trinity is special counsel.
Yeah, thank you.
At the same rates as Gebhardt and Kiefer was charging.
Thank you.
In the first surety matter.
In the first surety matter.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Let's do a roll call on that one. Bless you.
Okay. Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Ms. Connery?
Yes.
Ms. Gleba?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Sure.
Mayor McDonald?
Yes. Okay. Anything else we need to do that I forgot?
Not that I am aware
of. Okay,
yet.
Good. That takes us to council remarks. Mrs. Connery? Okay. Mr. Torres?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Of course, holidays coming up, and if we somehow don't have a meeting before Christmas, Merry Christmas too, but that being said, we had New Jersey leading municipalities this past week. Of course, from the council, the mayor went, Councilman Higgins, I believe he went as well.
I went too.
There was some interesting things that we should be bringing to the attention of the whole council at future meetings, some of which, just to whet your appetite, and of course the mayor and I discussed some of these things because he went to saw the same exhibits and spoke to some of the same people as I did. There's interesting concept that's being provided out to a lot of the bids, which is they have a card which they mail out to, I guess, the general population. whether it's tenants or homeowners. And they have this program set up where it doesn't cost them anything and they get a credit on their taxes. But they bring the car to the merchants in town, and then it's, you know, it builds up this community shopping. So it helps the downtowns, it helps the businesses downtown, and it also helps somewhat with a tax credit. Now, in order so that the municipalities don't have to, you know, pay for all this, it can certainly be outside sponsored, and they give suggestions. Now, the people that run this company, is done, by the way, in several different other towns now. Two that come to mind are Marlboro, and if the mayor can help me out, what's the other one?
I think Hawthorne.
Forefront, and they mentioned somebody else too. I have the information, but that'll be forthcoming. But the good thing is, it's a program that can be funded from the outside with, you know, just sponsors. They will be coming here if we decide we'd like them to make a presentation to the whole council, so we can, you know, get that underway. If we'd like to go, you know, forward with something like that. There was many other.
I can piggyback on that just a little bit.
Sure.
They also had that seminar, they gave out flash drives with various pieces of information on it, which I gave to Sandy earlier today, so she can take a look at it.
Yes, certainly want her.
Businesses have the option of participating or not participating, you know, at their will.
Sure.
Sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there.
There's many, many other people that are were there that could possibly give presentations to help our community in many different ways. Another one is New Jersey Department of Transportation. They have possible, you know, things that we can discuss for grants. There's just so much. It's too much to discuss, you know, now, just ending council remarks, because I'll be here for a long time. I mean, it was probably at least 20 things that I thought were, you know, of value that we can actually benefit from. Besides for the updates on a lot of the municipal laws. Now, some of those, you know, will affect us directly, and so, you know, if we have by next meeting, I'll have again something that I could put in everybody's mailbox, give you an update a little bit.
Right.
They handed out some, discs that we can share too, so, you know, everybody should have opportunity to review some of those things. So, repaving materials was another one. Recycling of electronic equipment, similar to what we did, rather do now with the iron and metal. They have no charge to municipalities for computer and electronic equipment pickup, which now is like kind of inconvenient because we have to go to the county whenever it's only the dates that are available.
You sit online for hours.
This program, they come to us, and then
I've seen a lot of that in the metal recycling bin.
Yeah, so I mean, there's many, many things from this particular leading session that was, you know, a benefit. So we'll get into more of that future meetings.
Okay,
thank you,
Mrs. Lieben.
All right, I also wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving, and I really want to encourage everyone to come out Saturday for Hometown Holiday. It's going to be a lot of fun this year. We're having a parade. We have the Warren Hills High School marching band that's going to lead the parade and play music and choir. It's going to really be really good time with the two tree lighting. So, and also to support the Small Business Saturday. It's hopefully, you know, the businesses do well that evening.
But that's
the start. Four to eight. So the first tree lighting around 4:15, right here at the Borough Hall here. And then the parade will lead down to the tree in downtown, and that's about like 4:45 maybe.
That's Saturday.
Yes, and that's when Santa will arrive and. So it should be a good time. And then I'm gonna make the motion that we cancel the December 3rd meeting, or whatever next Tuesday is.
That's December 3rd.
Okay. I'll second that.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
No, just a little note on that, because I think that has to be public notice given, you know, that it is a canceled meeting.
Yeah, Christine will take care of it. All the legalities of that.
That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Higgins.
Yes, I too would like to wish everybody a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And since we're not going to meet, have a Merry Christmas.
No, we'll have the December 17th meeting.
No, there's only one meeting.
No,
December 30th.
Okay.
December 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Okay.
I want to say a welcome to Councilman Jones, and I hope he knows what he's getting into. And there was
doesn't like what he finds out, I guess he's going to come knock on your door.
No, not mine. What are we going to do? We need to start setting up budget stuff for January, right? Do you want to do that now?
I think that would be better handled when Christine is here.
Okay. Our first meeting then would be on the 7th of January. Okay.
Are you talking about a temporary budget or just budget workshops?
Well, no, the temporary budget we would pass there, but we need to set up
workshops.
Yeah, workshops.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you for having me. I'll see if I can make it back on the 30th.
All right. Well, I'd like to welcome you also.
Thank
you. Wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas or whatever holiday you may choose to celebrate. I also have a letter here from the Warren County Planning Department about the 25-year action plan for the Morris Canal Greenway. They will be holding a meeting here, where is it, on December 12th at 7 p.m. in the Washington Borough Municipal Building. There's a series of questions and other things, information here that should anybody want to go to it or look at, I have it here.
Who is that group?
It's the Morris Canal Working Group. With the 25-year action plan for the Morris Canal Greenway.
Is that the committee that Justin was on?
I believe it is. It's sponsored through the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority. Hmm. Yeah, anybody who wants information, I'll be happy to make copies of this for you. And that's all I have.
Yeah, put a copy. I would make a motion then, Mr. Mayor, to...
Don't we have executive session?
We might.
No, we already had that.
Oh, we already had it?
Yep.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Me.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?